Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 87. This is Jamie Russo. I own a coworking space in Palo Alto, California. I'm the executive director of the Global Workspace Association and the host of the Everything Coworking Podcast. Today, I experimented with a new format for the show, which I think worked out really well, although it did get a little bit long-winded. I think it's worth hanging in there for the full episode. Anthony Vitesse, founder of Synchronous Works in Detroit, emailed me last week asking for some help figuring out why he can sell his open space memberships all day long, but struggles with his offices. I love a good challenge, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to bring a real operator problem-solving session to the podcast. So I invited Anthony on the show to work through his challenge in real time, and we recorded it so that we can share it with you. So this might take you a to and from commute to get through, but hopefully you'll enjoy riding along with Anthony's story, what's working for him and what he's struggling with, and my hope is that you'll learn something that applies to your coworking journey. And before we jump into Anthony, this episode is brought to you by my program, the Coworking Startup School. I just officially set the date for the next cohort. I cannot wait. It will run for 2 half days this time. I'm optimizing the format a little bit. So it'll be September 25th and 26th. I'm also adding on a series of Q&A sessions so that you are sure to get all of your specific questions answered immediately following our sessions. And then we will dive into our ongoing monthly flight group program. So this program is for you if you are investing in your coworking space and want to avoid costly mistakes and stress by getting expert and peer support in a highly facilitated environment. We want to make sure that you create the right space for you and your target market right from the beginning. We want to make sure you get the business model right so that you're set up for financial sustainability that matches your goals. We'll review your pro forma, help you with product mix, design, working with vendors, getting your marketing systems down, hiring the right team, or learning how to run the space yourself, getting set up with the right tech and more. We go through all the things that you need to know to start a space. If this sounds like a fit for you, learn more at www.coworkingstartupschool.com. And if you are already on the list, you'll be getting an email from me shortly with the details for the next session. Okay, now I would like to introduce you to my guest today, Anthony Vitesse. Anthony, thank you for joining me today. We're going to do a bit of a different format, and I'm really looking forward to this. We're going to have a conversation about a challenge you're having in your space and see if we can help you kind of figure out what to do about that. You sent me an email, and by the way, I love getting emails. Thank you, Anthony, for reaching out, because you know when you do a podcast, you have no idea generally who's listening. And it's such a weird feeling. And so, you know, I've met people through the flight groups that I do and the startup school that I've been doing, but it's so fun when I get emails. So I loved it. And you were up for doing this. So I'm super excited to learn more about you and your space and kind of talk through this. And I think it'll be fun for people listening and mix it up a little bit. Anthony, you said you listen on your way to work. You have an hour and 50 minute commute to your space now. We'll have to ask you at the end what other podcasts you listen to, because I'm sure you've got a list of them.
I know some good ones.
Yeah, but thanks for joining me. And so tell us a little bit about you. So you're in the Detroit area, your space is in Detroit, you have a long commute, but tell us kind of, and you've been doing this for a long time. You're also a digital marketing freelancer. And you have some interesting things going on around work for digital nomad. So tell us a little bit about your backstory, how you get into coworking, how you opened the space, how you came to have an hour and 50 minute commute to get there. And we'll go from there.
Okay, great. Yeah. First off, I really appreciate you having me on. Long time listener, first time contributor, I guess. So I'm excited about it. And yeah, I do have a lot of questions. I was hoping to kind of dive into your expertise here. A little bit about me and how I got started. So I'd mentioned before that I have been in the co-working world for a while now, before they even called it co-working, really, before that key term was really used. Shared office space was just, or satellite offices, I think is what we were calling them back then. What I found out, I was prime member at about 10 different locations in Metro Detroit. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
what are some examples? Like, did you start with sort of the executive suite seat type?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. A lot of just no name popped up ones, you know, okay. Or they had names.
Like independently owned.
Yeah. They're named off their address or something, you know, there's more people get creative with it. But Metro Detroit has been kind of on that, you know, this industry real early.
Yeah.
But the competition really wasn't there. It was like early adopters, but not really, you know, heavy pushers for it. So we do have some really old spaces. Obviously, WeWork's been here for a long time.
Yeah.
But, we have some other locations. Bamboo Detroit is a great location. We have Green Garage Detroit. They're also a great location. And I've been a member at a lot of these different places, like I said, probably over the last 15 years or so. And there's something that's just not perfect about all of them. So I think that's a big reason that we moved into this space. So, you know, the reason I got started is after being a member at each place and having something that I really didn't like at each place.
And
I
you felt, were running your digital marketing.
Yes, that's exactly why. So I had the need.
Yeah. Did you have a team or was it just you and you needed a professional place to work?
Originally, it was just me, but eventually we moved into about a 4-person team.
Okay.
And yeah, there was something we hated about every location. So we thought, you know, hey, we could do this. And I think we can improve on this by, you know, bringing everything together, everything good that everyone's doing and try to get rid of the bad. And that's how we came up with Synchronous Coworking. A little bit about that is we're downtown Detroit. So we're right in the hustle and bustle. We're right on the riverfront of downtown as well. So if you, right outside our building, you can look over at the Detroit River. So that's nice. And we have a lot of amenities that other places didn't have. I don't know if you visited Detroit lately, but parking in our city is just as bad. You mentioned you're originally from Chicago or you lived in Chicago. So our parking's getting as bad as Chicago. Huh. Yep. And we include free parking for all of our members.
All of your members. Wow.
And again, if you've been to Detroit, we have what's called the Detroit People Mover. It's one of our only.
I saw that in your notes. I was like, or on your website. I was like, what's the People Mover?
Yeah. So it's our public transit, but it only goes, I don't know, 10 miles in a big circle.
Okay.
Just in downtown. But if you're in the downtown area and you got to move around the downtown area, it's fantastic.
Okay.
And we're connected directly to it. So
awesome.
Yeah, the Skywalk leads right into our building. So that's a huge plus for anyone that's working in downtown.
So are you in a Class A building?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been open?
So we're actually pretty new. We've only been open for somewhere between 11 and 13 months.
Okay. So you're hitting that year mark. Yep. You know, and I'll mention this because I've had conversations about this with a few people recently is, you know, I think that it depends on the market. You can open and poof, you know, fill up quickly, but it can take 18 months, you know, to kind of get to your like normalized, this is what it's going to look like pace of things where you're kind of mostly full, you're replacing people when they leave, you know, but there's definitely a warm-up period in a lot of cases. So you're still, you know, in that frame and we'll kind of talk about how it's been going for you, but tell us a little bit more, how big is the space? Kind of what's your product mix in the space? Describe it for us a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So it's complicated to explain the space itself because we have a very unique partnership with the ownership of the buildings.
Okay.
So when we're in a complex, we're in a private community in downtown Detroit, completely fenced in. We have our own parking structure on site with two outside parking lots. And like I mentioned, we're Detroit Riverfront. So we do have balconies overlooking the river, which is quite nice. We have access to the roof. We are on the third floor. But the thing is because of our relationship with the building, we have a lot of leeway to kind of stretch our legs where you wouldn't in other circumstances. So there was residents that live right inside our community. And we've worked out a relationship for a live work.
Okay.
So we are working on that where people are living in the building and working in our space from all over the world.
Yep.
And so a little bit about the space. We have a large conference room. I don't know the square footage off the top of my head right now. The capacity of that's probably about 30 people, though. It's quite large.
Yep.
And we have only 4 private offices. So our private offices are quite large themselves. And 3 of the 4 are facing the riverfront.
Oh, nice.
Which has its own private balcony.
Oh, wow.
They're very nice offices. They all come furnished, of course.
Yep. How many people do they hold each?
Oh,
ish.
The smallest one, probably 4 to 6.
Okay.
And then the largest one, at least 10.
Okay. Got it. So bigger, 2 teams.
Yeah. They're more team spaces. Now we do have an extra small one, but we don't really talk about that one.
Okay.
It's just the extra one. We also have a content creation room that we've made for podcasting and vlogging.
Awesome.
So that's nice. And we have, what we're doing is we're putting tracks in there so the cameras can actually move on tracks.
Wow.
And are creating YouTube content and need a space. So that's really cool. We're excited about that. It's our newest project. We only have, I think, 12 designated desks.
Okay.
That's it in the space. And we probably have enough open co-working space for about 30 or 40 at one time.
Okay. Got it. Do you have any other meeting rooms besides the large conference room?
Right now, no. But like I said, with access to be able to stretch our legs, there is a large meeting space downstairs from us that's used as the community center.
Okay.
So we have access to that.
Yeah.
That's for about 100 people.
Wow. Okay. So that could be an event space.
And that's how we've been using it so far. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Nice. What about phone rooms?
That is something I think we're going to be using that little office for that we never talk about. I'm going to change that into a, and that was actually off after listening to one of your episodes mentioning the need for that. That's when we first started discussing kind of transitioning that space into a little phone room.
Yeah. Do your members ask for phone rooms? Our members do.
So and far,
Art, let us know when they want something.
Yeah. So far, that's what I've been trying to cultivate more, a little bit more cross communication with our members. Yeah. I mean, we chat. Everyone's very chatty, but they're hesitant to give me complaints or to requests.
Do you know what? I think my observation about that is I kind of in the same boat. So you mentioned your structure right now is you are the community manager.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're doing all the things. You're commuting an hour and 50 minutes. Go hang out this and running your marketing agency.
Right.
And being the community manager. I would guess eventually, do you plan to eventually hire a community manager to help you kind of balance that out a little bit?
Yeah, that's the goal. Well, the goal honestly is when we get our second location open, then we'll have someone take over the first one. Yeah.
Yep. Got it. Yep. Okay. So I think our members also rarely complain to me unless it's something big and they want me to pay attention. But they will tell my community manager all the things. But I think when you're wearing both hats, so I think it's just sort of a funny thing. They look at me as like, you know, the owner and I'm there and I chat with them. Same thing. I know them all. I chat with them all, but they don't kind of get into things with me, but they'll tell Diana, my manager, yeah, you know, they're anxious about something or, you know, this is bugging them or whatever, or, you know, we want this kind of beer at happy hour. They give her all kind of the details. So I have to sort of play mailman with her. But because you're playing both roles, you know, they may sort of feel like, well, he's an owner. I know he's got a lot on his plate. I don't want to, you know, give him all the, so you might have to ask for it more, find a couple of members that, you know, will kind of give you the dirt. But I would, you know, at some point people will start telling you if something's bugging them. But yeah, phone rooms, I mean, depending on kind of the makeup of your members. So tell me, yeah, what are your, you probably have a variety of members, but kind of what do your members do? What's their sort of typical makeup? Are they freelancers, teams? Tell us, yeah, a little bit more about who's in your space.
Sure. Yeah. At Synchronous right now, like you said, we have a huge array of members right now, most of which though are entrepreneurs and they're all definitely in that startup realm under $1 million revenue a year, of course.
Yep.
What we really do is we focus on, especially because of the freelance that I offer, we offer that through Synchronous as well. So when you come there, we really specialize on those first stage entrepreneurs. And that's who we really try to aim to help between our networking and some of our partnerships and the events that we host. We really help focus on people that are just starting their business for the first time and don't really know what they're doing. Even getting set up with the state, getting set up with a bank account. We help with all of that. So
okay.
Most of them are entrepreneurs, but you know, we do have quite a bit of, you know, independent agents. We have a lot of insurance. We got a lot of real estate. Huh. We had a lot of attorneys. Yeah. A little bit of everything.
Yep. What does the downtown Detroit landscape look like for co-working? Is there heavy competition? A lot of spaces, a lot of choice?
Yeah, I think I'd say yes. If you look digitally, so if we look at Google, Yahoo, Bing, and we try to map it from a technical standpoint, you'd say no.
Okay. Is that a lot of spaces who don't know what they're doing for digital marketing wise? Okay. Yes. Take note, everyone. I know I didn't realize Anthony had a digital marketing background. And I love that because that's usually a gap for owners, right? I talk about that a lot. It's like, look, if people can't find you online, you don't exist.
Right.
You're and not so in the you have a huge advantage because you know how to make sure you exist in search.
So yeah, you got to be in the conversation and the conversation's happening online nowadays.
Yep.
So yeah, if you look online, I would say no, the competition looks like there's about 10 of us in all of the city.
Okay.
And there's a lot more and there's a lot of options, especially if you're part of any type of, you know, strip club. We have a lot of women's only co-working here in Detroit.
Okay.
And we have a lot of hyper-focused co-working locations.
Niche type of, yeah.
Very niche. Yeah, we have tech-only locations. Yeah, there's a lot of niche-focused ones. And a few of them, I'd say about a handful are good at marketing.
Okay.
And the rest are just falling short. Because honestly, with a small budget, we're popping up everywhere. So I'm not sure.
We'll have to do a separate episode where you can share all your digital marketing secrets, but.
Oh yeah. It would take a whole lot.
Yeah. For sure. Good for you. Do you have sort of a unique positioning? Like who would you say you're best for? Like if somebody's trying to find a space, like who should come to your space?
That's a close one. Okay. So I guess someone that's never done co-working before, we're good for the newbie.
Okay.
Because we're a little mix of everything. And anyone that's, what's the term, a socialite? Anyone that really likes to get social, we do have a lot of events.
Okay.
Now, there's not a lot of chatting going on in the space. You know, a lot of people got their heads down or working on your average day. But if you're coming on a weekend, yeah, there's a lot of good times happening.
Wait, so you're open. Are you open? Do you staff on the weekends or just?
Yep, we're true 24/7.
So members have access.
Yep. The only time you won't find staff is probably between midnight and 5 a.m.
Wow.
But other than that, yeah,
and
we got people there.
So you staff, is it you that stays that late or somebody else?
Not always. There's a family.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to sleep sometime.
Totally. It's unusual to staff so late. Why do you choose to do that?
So right now, a lot of our coworkers are coming in after standard work hours. So it's a secondary job.
Side hustle?
Yep. So I'd say more than half of our members, that's what it is. So our crowded time is about 5:30 to 1 a.m.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's when it's busy. If you like to come socialize, that's the time to come. Because in the morning, everyone's got their head down and is working.
I mean, so that's an interesting sort of niche for you too. It sounds like you probably, because none of the other spaces are staffed or kind of have that energy after hours.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
A lot of the other places actually aren't true 24/7. If you're already in the space.
Yep, you can stay.
Yeah, but you can't come in after 11 p.m. or something like that. So.
Right.
That was one of my biggest negatives when I was a coworker.
Okay.
I didn't get out of work until 8 p.m. at the time when I had a day job, so I needed to come late.
Yep. Interesting. So you've kind of solved that problem, but it feels like you're kind of creating kind of a draw for those types of folks. So your entrepreneurs are sort of first stage entrepreneurs, but have the budget for co-working.
Yes.
Are they funded or bootstrapping?
90% of them are bootstrapping. Some of them are funded. We help a lot of them get funded.
Okay.
Or at least learn the ropes around that, whether they want to do that or not.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of bootstrapping. We bootstrap this business, a huge fan of it, and it's a lot easier on the paperwork and just keeping organized.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all came out of my pocket, so it's easier to figure out.
Yep.
But it is not only entrepreneurs here. Like I said, we just have a huge entrepreneur portion of our coworkers. We're non-niche. I mean, we accept everybody here. So that's a big thing. We have students too. We're extremely affordable. That's another thing I should mention. We are undercutting all of our competition.
Okay. So you're okay. Got it.
So we are one of the more affordable places. So if you're an entrepreneur and budget is your big concern, we're going to definitely pop up in that conversation.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm getting a picture. Okay. So when you say we help entrepreneurs, who's we?
Okay. So I use a lot of those types of terms because we're trying to cultivate a very strong community because in Detroit, I feel like that's what we're missing out of all of our competition is you become a member and then you never see anybody again, except for people randomly coming by. So I'm hands-on with all of our members. You join, I'm going to say, hey, how can I help?
Okay.
Let's look at your social networks. Let's look at everything you got. There's a lot of we going on. It's a team effort kind of
thing. But we is you in often, like you don't have sort of a team of business advisors or
not technically
pull in from your network.
But there's a lot of introductions and warm introductions going on. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's our staff only. It's the community we bring together. So a lot of introductions going on for sure.
I love this. I mean, I just get this picture of your space of being like really engaged and really great for people who are trying to start something or in the early stage of starting something and want to be in a place that like is authentic and wants to help them and has some great experience. I mean, you're a Detroit native, you've got your own business that you've been running, your own networks, and you're super engaged in helping these guys from all the basic things from filing their paperwork to fundraising. So, wow. And I feel like we need to get you some help at some point, but I mean, it feels like all of it's hard, but some people will kind of get the space stuff exactly down. but it feels like you've got an authentic community that's developing, and that feels like it should be pretty sticky for you.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know what is the most fun about this whole business, co-working in general, is watching people in their first stage go from nothing to booming.
Yeah.
It's one of the most exciting, beautiful feelings to say, hey, I knew that guy back in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And you had some hand in sort of supporting and, you know, whether it's business or advice or just like the smile they needed that day when they were ready to, you know, fall apart.
Warm coffee that morning. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Okay. So you mentioned, before we kind of dive into your specific questions here, you mentioned a second location. What is the goal of that? Like, is there a sort of pain point in this first location, like people needing different spaces, or just you want to do a second location and scale the business?
Okay. So this is a complex question, complex answer too. So what our goal is right now is we're probably going to double in size at our current location. Cause I'd mentioned before we're in a large tower.
Yep.
So we have some options to expand here.
Okay.
And we're actually in the middle of doing that. Well, not in the middle of it, but we're in the middle of the early stages of doing that. We haven't started construction yet, but after expanding probably double in size here, then we're going to try to look for another location still in Metro Detroit area.
Yep.
And the reason is there's a lot of need for co-working and designated desking. So far that is, like I said, without my original question.
Yeah.
I guess we could start transitioning.
Yeah, quick. Totally.
I'd say we close about 95% of our tours.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll have a session on that too.
Yeah, that's a conservative number, believe it or not. But most of them are for designated desks or co-working.
Okay.
I've had a grand total of like 3 tours for office space.
So interesting. Yep.
So, and those are the ones that I haven't closed. So yep. I guess that's where my problem is. And I don't know if it's baked into the pricing structure that we have or if it's properly advertising it and I'm not getting the right types of people. I'm not quite sure. Yep. That's why I'm curious, because a lot of other people.
I know, right. Yeah. We talk about that office is, yeah. Yep. Okay. But yeah, back to your pricing. You started to mention your kind of position, like to be an affordable solution. It feels like you're giving a lot for what you are charging. So yeah. I'm just looking at your website. So $100 a month for 24/7 access, which is amazing.
Yeah. That comes with a commitment. That's if you commit for 3 months.
Oh, good. Okay, great. And then dedicated is 300, which feels a little bit more typical. And you get in a dedicated space, some meeting room time. And I assume that's 24/7 access as well.
Yep. And conference room is actually unlimited use. It's just first come, first serve through the booking system.
Yep.
But we don't limit by hours. Same with our printing, faxing, scanning. We just ask our community, hey, be a community, because I don't want to run out and buy paper. So,
right.
You know, it's not print entire books, but we don't count pages. We don't do tokens or credits or anything like that.
Okay. Got it. So you have 4 offices and they're, is that right? 4?
Yep.
Yeah. 4 of them.
4 private spaces. Yep.
Yeah. And they're for larger teams. Does your typical member, are they a team or are they kind of like one gal or guy kind of getting this thing off the ground?
It's one or two. That's the thing. We haven't worked with any teams yet, really. Yeah. It's all, I mean, some of them have 2 or 3 people involved, but for the most part, it's 1 or 2 people.
Yeah. Which makes sense if they're earlier stage. They don't have a lot of payroll funding yet. Have you seen them start to grow? Have you seen some of your folks start to add people?
Yes. We've had actually quite a bit of groups grow, but they grow to the size where they leave us. So that's the thing. That's what we want. We are not
going to retain them.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is of course it would be great if they stayed on board with us, but if they're big enough and it makes sense fiscally to open up their own location somewhere and be their office or whatever it may be, that's, we want to help them grow, you know?
So for your current members, when they add people, they aren't sort of graduating into your private spaces and then leaving. Are they sort of leapfrogging the private spaces, or like, why do you think
that's what we're seeing? We're seeing a big leapfrog there. And I think it's another thing is too. So we have our like geographical issue with Detroit is the fact that like most people don't live in Detroit. I'd say good 80%, maybe more, commute into the city.
Got it.
So when they do, they leapfrog us, because when they start getting to those points, they can find a less managed location and just an empty office space somewhere that's closer to where they live.
Oh.
That might only be a little bit more and it cuts out that drive.
Yeah.
But see, we're booming every year right now in Detroit's growing rapidly. Google just moved an office downtown. LinkedIn just moved down here.
Yep.
So a lot of booming going on, but we're still waiting for people to move into the city.
Yep. Got it. Okay. So you're, although I'm curious, is it that you sort of mentioned that the kind of the most populous suburbs are directly north of the city? Because I would see one potential problem being as a company grows, it'd be better to be centralized so that everybody's coming into the city versus going to one specific suburb.
I agree.
Okay. But still, like, the founder or whatever tends to pick his, what's easy for him and sort of make everybody get to him. Is that kind of, or her?
Yeah. It's a lot of hers.
Good.
We have a huge community of women entrepreneurs. I mean, I'm hugely supportive of that. Yeah. It's fantastic. But yeah, I guess that's hard to say. I haven't really, I guess, measured it and said why.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. That's what I need to start doing. But and it hasn't happened a ton. You know, we're talking about maybe 10 or 15 companies that have leapfrogged over these office spaces. So, I mean, that's my big focus is, I almost use the term lure. How do I lure in people, I guess, that
need space,
already looking for co-working space? Even, it doesn't have to be entrepreneurs. We've done a lot of meeting space work with large corporations.
Sure.
A lot of corporations hire us for meeting space. We just had IBM in last week.
Yep.
So, you know, even them, you know, placing some people in these offices, I'm open to all of it. I just don't even know where to start, I guess.
Yep.
Because everything I've done so far is super grassroots. I've just wrote up the SEM on my own.
Yep.
Put it out there.
Yep.
So even advice on working with realtors or something, anything like
that. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So you want to probably figure out, are you putting any private spaces in the expansion space, or are you doing mostly dedicated desks and co-working?
Okay. So that's, we haven't ironed that out yet.
Yeah. But that's probably part of what you want to figure out, right? Is like, can I sell these things or not? Because
that's another reason I reached out to you, because we are trying to plan this expansion. And I'm like, hey, I can sell designated desks and you know, desks or co-working space. I can sell that all day, but I'm having a hard time closing these private offices.
Yeah.
The offices are beautiful.
Yeah. Right. With the gorgeous views and the, Okay. I'll ask a couple of questions. Is there anything about, there's no pricing on your website for the offices, which I would at least put a starting price on there, because I think most people want to know like a ballpark, you know?
Yeah. Gary, my partner, is going to love that you said that.
It's even arguing for that too.
Yeah. We've debated that back and forth. So he won that one.
Here's the thing. Even if there are only, 10 spaces that are showing up on, with consistently in search results, people are lazy. I think I covered this in my sales funnel episodes, which were the most recent ones. Like they, so if you are going to have that, you got to be ready to answer that question. Like I would have live chat. I would have something in there so that somebody doesn't have to call you, because people just are lazy and they just want to know. So if they're sort of searching like a certain radius, I think this is how their mindset works. Like, look, I'm going to pick 3 spaces that, are options for us. And then we're going to make sure they're in our budget, and then we'll go tour. So if they can't tell if you're in the budget, they got to call you or send you an email. And so I just think it's a barrier. So I would put a starting point there. What's the reason for not having it on there? Is it because you want to be able to, I'll leave that open-ended.
No, the reason right now is because each of them is different. So I didn't want, what I was trying to avoid was just more work, was because someone comes
you're
in.
You're being lazy. Everybody's being lazy. Yeah. We're not selling any offices.
It was my fault, because if someone comes in and grabs out the cheapest one, I got to always move that bar.
Yep.
But it makes sense because exact reason you said, kind of to ask a question inside what you just said too, is the whole live chat thing. So I've had a personal challenge with this.
I think I can imagine that is one more thing. Like, you're all over the place. I think you're giving a lot and doing a lot, and the live chat feels like an admin thing that's hard for you to do because I always advocate it. You could have somebody else answer it. So we outsource ours to DaVinci.
Yep.
Give them, or, they have chat bots, which I have not set up yet. Shared Space Atlanta. Michael Everts is in one of my flight groups and he has his set up and it's awesome. So you could, and you're probably technical enough that that's like just easy to do. You could set up a chat bot to cover most of the common questions. So if somebody puts in like, how much is your office? You could even have for how many people? And they could say, 10, and you could have it spit back a number. I would probably just though err on the side of saying, look, here are the, I would do like a starting at or a per person price. I mean, generally on the back end, the way you want to think about pricing your office, and you can certainly negotiate, in the tour if you want to, but generally you're going to take your dedicated desk pricing and multiply it by the number of people that fit in the room.
Right.
So if your dedicated desk is 300 and four people fit in the room, it's a $1,200 office. Plus, if you've got a view or it's a corner office or it's, you know, you may also just plus it up because it's a private space, because you're trying to incent people. You don't want people. Yeah. So you basically just, yeah, multiply it. And I always add a little bit because it's a private space. And if you think you can charge for the view and that kind of thing, which maybe you're not there yet because you just want to fill them, but you could sort of, you know, add on a little bit for the extras there, which I'm sure you would have seen, like, for sure Regis is doing that and that kind of thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All their offices are priced differently. That being said, if you get a team that wants the office and they say, look, you know, it's a $1,200 office, but my budget is $1,000 and you just want to move that office, then move the office. You know, that's always to your discretion on the back end. I would put some pricing up there. Is there anything, so in terms of, I mean, the ecosystem in Detroit in general, I mean, offices are generally going to go to, especially that big. So I would have a couple of questions. I mean, do you think the ecosystem sort of supports that team size? Because you could be a candidate for, you just mentioned, you know, LinkedIn opened an office. Like, anybody who's trying to open an office who doesn't want to get their own space. Is real estate still so cheap that anybody with 10 people is going to get their own space?
Not at that size, no.
Okay.
I mean, LinkedIn bought an entire building.
Okay. So there's that.
If you're buying whole buildings, yeah, there's still some great deals.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking for an office for 15 people or less.
Yeah. It's still a pain and it's hard and all the things that happen in every other market. Okay, good.
I mean, office manager and all that. Yeah. So the thing is our competitors, they're more like what I've heard on the show before, where they're selling their offices like hotcakes and they're having trouble selling co-working stuff.
Yeah. So I think you're in a good space because this shouldn't be a hard, you should be able to figure this out because the hard part is usually building the community and having, you know, a vibrant place where people want to work in the open space and also just finding the people who can work in an open space, because like I'm one of those people, I'm on the phone all the time. I cannot be in open space.
Sure.
So, you know, I need an office. And so I feel like that's just sort of the group you haven't tapped into yet, because you've got all your entrepreneurs who are totally fine being in the out, you know. What about your entrepreneurs who need to do like client calls or client meetings? Like, where are they doing that?
So right now, a lot of people will just book up, like if they know, okay, hey, I have clients coming in from 2 to 4, they'll book a conference room. And right now our content creation room is being used quite a bit for just, you know, a small meeting space.
Yep.
Another thing we let people do, which will be between us, which is some of the office space that isn't currently
occupied.
We do allow people to squat. It, because it is all furnished and it's beautiful. I don't want to get dusty in there. So allow people to use that space right now.
Yeah.
And I don't, maybe that's a reason that people aren't moving up. They're like, hey, I can use this space anyway. Right. I don't know, but I don't think it's the people that are using, you know, the space pro bono are not going to move up into that space.
In your opinion, sort of your qualitative opinion, they're not the candidates for the offices. They're just taking advantage of some free place to make a phone call. So, real quick, going back to your conference room, you do unlimited hours for your members, but it's first come, first serve.
We do not limit the conference room use. So I do a very in-depth tour when I first start people off, and I really try to get to know them as a person and try to show them who I am as a person.
Yep.
And we're very like family oriented, community oriented. Yep. You can come talk to me about anything.
Yep.
And so we let people know, hey, listen, if you have a meeting, if you're doing work as much as you want, book this conference room up first come, first serve. But if you know you're working on, you know, you just finished a meeting and you're just typing notes up and you can see someone clearly wants to use it, skedaddle and let them get in there. And it's been working great. When you ask people to take on self-responsibility of being part of a community, people step up and they help each other a lot. It's been beautiful so far.
Well, I think it's been beautiful because you're doing a lot of work to create the culture, because that takes, I mean, you're thoughtful about your tours and the expectations that you set. And so I think that's not just dumb luck. You know, you're
sure. Yeah.
Take some credit for that for sure. I would say at some point, and this is hard to change because you'll have members that won't like that, limiting the conference room hours will, I mean, you have one, which is a little bit tricky. So you may just want to, like, it may just be your culture that you say, look, you know, use it when you need it. That's pretty uncommon to just go, you know, Yeah. So I think at some point, if you needed to rein that in a little bit, you could rein it in and put a cap on it so that people, do you use a space management system to run your space?
Yeah. Should I name drop them?
Yeah. Let's name drop.
Yeah. We use Cobot.
Okay.
Yeah. We're a huge fan.
Awesome. No, that's why I think people always want to hear, like, what are other people using? Do they like it? Do they not? I will say my perception is that Cobot requires a little bit more sort of technical comfort.
Yeah, I guess it depends where you're starting from the technical standpoint, because I fell right into it very comfortably. Yeah.
Yes, I think that the overwhelm on the space management platform is super common. And there's like a range. Yes, some people like it's overwhelming. But so, because Cobot can do some custom things, you can kind of tie it into other. Yes. So you're comfortable doing all of that.
Their integration to the website is just seamless. So I loved it. Very simple for me.
Yep. So it probably would track conference room hours for you if you asked it to.
Yeah.
So there is the potential pitfall of, right, people have unlimited conference room hours, they can use the open offices, and so they're not upgrading. But qualitatively, you feel like that's probably not really it. So we want to get some new people in there using the offices. So since you have bigger spaces, so one thing, I'd be curious what your thoughts are on this for the new space is, do you do smaller offices? You know, do you do the one person, two person offices? If that's kind of the size of team that you're drawing, do you have people who are starting up who have enough sort of client phone time that might be a fit for them versus the bigger spaces?
Yeah, I think, so what I feel I'm self-identifying as our biggest issue is more of a price point too.
Okay.
Because a lot of our competitors have, here's the thing, is a couple of our competitors have space, it's priced right around the same as ours, and they're just better somehow. I don't know if it's marketing or people they're working with that are bringing people in, but a lot of our competitors, the larger, you know, big name brand co-working spaces are offering the tiniest spaces.
Yeah. I mean, a WeWork one person office is like 36 square feet. I think.
Yeah.
There's like you can get yourself into it and that's it. It's small. And then even sort of like other folks doing like a micro office would be like 64 square feet, which is like 8x8. So you got your desk, you can sort of back up in there, but you can't really have somebody sit in there with you.
Right. They have their prison cells going on.
Yeah.
And that, but the price point they're at people love.
Right. I was going to say, that's the thing. Like they're teensy, but people like them because they're affordable.
Right. Now, I guess that's my biggest challenge is I can't swallow the fact of charging that much for such a small space because I wouldn't pay it. So we've been having trouble there. I guess, you know, when we open up a newer space, we want to or expand our space, we want to try to price closer to that number that they're charging for those in our area. Because, man, they fill up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, for a little bit more, I'm giving you more than three times the space. I think I'm just outside the price point right now.
Yep. Okay. So yeah. And because you have more space, so how are you pricing your 4 to 6 person office?
Okay. So the smallest space right now, we're asking for 800.
Okay.
So it's, here's the thing. It's still really affordable.
It's still really low. Yeah.
You got the Detroit numbers are very different than, you know, everywhere else.
Yep.
So we're between 800 and 1400 for all of our spaces. 1400 gets you a private balcony facing the river. So that's the range right there. Now our competitors. So
1400, but is that for the 10 person office?
Yes. I'd say it's probably better for 8 people than 10. Maybe I misspoke saying 10 because 10 would kind of have you crammed in there. But it's a large space. But here's the thing is our competitors have office space a little bit smaller for those exact prices between $1,000 and $1,500. So in that range, and they don't overlook the river in anything like that. So we're offering the same size at the same price plus, you know, a balcony and riverfront and all that. So, you know, and we include free parking for everybody, which is different than anyone else. So we're all that in a bag of chips.
Right.
Our competitor, but we're not luring in those office people. And that's where my challenge is we said, look, let's offer them the exact same thing. Let's give them a couple more amenities and match the price. And we should be able to do well. And here's the thing. When I call them competitors, nobody in our market's a competitor. We actually are pretty much friends with all the owners.
Okay.
We see them at all the team networking events. You know, we're on high five handshake, you know, basis. So we're all good.
So, okay. Do you not get any inquiries for offices or?
Very rare.
Okay. Yeah. So people are not calling. So first you got to get the pricing on the website. I worry for people who aren't familiar with your space that at these low price points, that people will think there's something wrong with the office.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get what you pay for because your 8-person office is $175 a person and your dedicated desk is $300.
Sure.
It's like, you know, when you're thinking about sort of a pricing framework, like it just doesn't make sense. It's from your perspective, you're like, well, I sell 8 memberships at once. So that's nice.
That's exactly the mindset. There's a bulk sale discount kind of thing.
Yeah. So I would see what are your competitors doing? And is that like the standard approach to kind of bulk discount? I would be careful to like really underprice your competitors, especially when what you're offering as an experience is so meaningful. I feel like there's sort of a headspace thing about the pricing here.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, because it's not working to give it away for free. So there's an awareness problem or a perception problem. I mean, you know, back to the awareness thing. Yeah. So put your pricing on your website. I would do some more keyword work on offices. Do you have a blog on your website?
We do. Well, we release news articles. We don't call it a blog.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure you have some nice photos of the office space since they're so attractive. I would think people do love views and they, you know, when you're going to pay for an office, you want it to be nice. So I think you're probably positioned. Oh, the other question I was just going to ask is about the space. Is there any reason that somebody would be turned off by the rest of the space that would be an office candidate? Like too many people in hoodies, too many, you know, cans of Monster Energy drinks sitting around or like, you know, I don't know. Is there like any sort of ambiance issue?
We did. No, because we do have a very professional vibe, though very relaxed, but it is very professional vibe in there. The only thing is just perception because I'm learning, even though co-working has been popular in Detroit for a long time, I'm learning that like everyone I talk to doesn't know what co-working is still.
Totally. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? I was at a meeting the other day and I had the same experience and the same perceptions that I just sort of asked about. I was like, I'll ask just to clarify, but it kind of makes me crazy. Like this woman I talked to and she was older. So she's probably not, you know, but I was like, oh wow, there are still people out there who think it's just a bunch of bros like hanging out, not really doing work. You know, it's super frustrating when you're in the industry because it's evolved so much. Okay. So it's probably an awareness problem. I mean, so I would put the pricing on the website.
I love that. I think that's a huge impact.
Right. I would put so there's not a lot of detail about the office availability. You might want to have a landing page on that Join Now because the Join Now doesn't really go anywhere. It just goes back to the amenities.
Right.
But I think it's okay if you don't keep the inventory sort of live because the way I look at it is like, look, if somebody calls and I don't have the office they want, maybe I can upsell them or maybe they'll take a smaller one or maybe I'll just get them on my list. And then when I lose an office member, you know, I've got some pipeline. So I would put on the website, maybe make a little landing page off of that Join Now link or more details and put the sizes that you have and some photos and, you know, whatever else you have to kind of make it super compelling and get people to call. And to your point, I mean, I think over time you'll be able to sell these on your own, but since are they mostly empty right now?
Well, yeah, there's three out of the four have no occupants.
Exactly. So you just want to fill those things up. I would use some lead gen partners, which you've probably heard me talk about before and you talked about kind of at the beginning. So if you have like a commercial broker who is, you know, local that you have, you know, would want to build a relationship with, I'm sure you've read like WeWork's doing a lot with this. Anybody who has like a lot of offices to fill will use brokers to fill them because any office that's sitting unfilled is better off filled, even if you pay a broker commission, you know, because the value of those per month. I think also working with brokers, I think some of this is a mindset piece for you because they've been empty. You're having a hard time with the pricing and like pricing how they should be valued. So if you use brokers to do the first round, I think it'll sort of cement for you like what the market price is for these and help you kind of get comfortable with that. So either use a local broker, like a commercial real estate broker that you think is active enough in like the startup community, they would be motivated to put some people in your space so that they can maintain a relationship and then get the commission when they move out and get their own space, you know, cause you're going to pay them. I mean, I can look up kind of the standard fee. I mean, it's like 10% of the deal usually for the first, there's a cap on it. Like you probably pay them quarterly and it's a year. And I can look again to make sure that's exactly right. But they're not going to get rich on referring people to your space.
Sure.
Because it's such a small deal, but their sort of real motivation might be that they've got a team that they really like, they think is going to do something, and they want to put them in a, you know, they want to solve a problem for that team. Get them in a good space. And then when they're ready for their own, you know, 4,000 square feet, then that broker will help them do that. The other, you know, if you, that's kind of an easy one, if you know someone in your networks. The other options, there are a couple of good ones. Preferred Office Network is one.
I said, I think we're on there.
Oh, you think you're on there already?
I'm pretty sure.
Interesting. I would double check because they, yeah, any of the sort of like bigger brokers, Search Office Space is another one. Instant Offices is another good one.
We're with Instant.
You are. And you don't get leads from them.
Well, that's the few we have had.
Come from them. Okay.
That we're getting none on our own. Zero through my SEO. And I'm running, you know, I'm running click campaigns for Office Space. And I think brokers, I looked into working with some brokers and then I kind of just, I didn't. So I want to go back to that, you know, bring it up. But yeah, Instant Offices and Preferred Offices are the only two that brought us any leads at all for, and I think we're part of a couple others, but that we've done anything with.
So you've listed, you may pick, I mean, you may ask, you may give them a call and say, you know, look, we have these offices. They're amazing. Send them a couple of pictures. What do we need to do to get some more leads? Just to kind of remind them that you're there. And then, or ask them for feedback. Like if you're doing tours and you're not closing and you're used to closing, like your close rate is really, really high. I would call them and same thing. Like, look, we close people all day long. We're super professional. We, you know, we're a great place to work. Help me understand because I want to do more business with you. You know, what can I do differently or what, where's the, but they've got to be.
And you brought it up in one of your other episodes. I think what I really need to do is go back and update everything. Update our Google My Business listing, update our, you know, all of our Yelp. Because honestly, I heard it in one of your other episodes, I haven't updated since I launched.
Yeah.
So we're talking almost 12 months ago now. So yeah, that I heard that and I was like, ooh, I got to go do that.
Well, it's hard, especially for you. You're wearing so many hats and you have so much going on that it's hard to make time to do that. But I think it's good to prioritize that for sure. So, I mean, that could be a perception piece. It does feel like you're doing what you can to drive leads to the site, which is interesting. So it feels like, I mean, kind of like I talked about in the sort of sales funnel site, like if you are sort of putting leads in the top of the funnel, there's probably something on your site that is your suites is also spelled wrong on your website. You have somebody, this is the thing you are, this happens. This is like, I think this is a common challenge for operators is like, we're wearing so many hats. So yeah, you have a little typo under office. It says private suits instead of suits. which would not stop me from calling you for an office. But so I feel like there's probably a, like a website. So the only thing I would say is like the brokers are not sending people to your website. So I would try to get some more feedback, like from the Instant and the Preferred, like, you know, you're in such a core location in a Class A office building. Like, why am I not getting more leads? It may, you know, it would be good to just call them and sort of poke them and see, can they get some people in those spaces, especially because they would specialize more quickly in getting larger groups in. Whereas, right, it may just be harder since you don't have any of the smaller offices, you're going for the bigger groups to find that on your own. But I think your own leads, since you're putting money against those, there's something on the website that's not, you know, getting that conversion to schedule a tour. And it feels like, you know, you're pretty good at the tours once you get the right groups in. So I would work on a landing page that talks more about your offices, the availability, the pricing, that kind of thing.
I think that's huge. I think that's huge. I think my takeaways really are is focus on, because I think exactly what you said, right on the website, we're capturing, you know, with pricing and everything, the designated desk and the coworkers. I think the takeaway here is really make sure that information is easily available for private offices as well.
Yeah.
And then go back and update everything and make sure everything's to par and then not misspell things.
Totally. I hear you. I don't want to, you know, you could probably find one on my website too, but yeah, for sure. And I would say, you know, maybe on the landing page again, like some more photos. Cause you know, I don't, in talk, and this take time and you're not going to solve all this overnight. So be patient because you've got a lot, you know, on your plate. But the, you know, more photo. I get the sense from talking to you how rich your community is, but I don't see it on the website. I don't get that tone.
Right. That's, you know? That's a good point. Yeah. Cause I really got to update everything. I think that's a big one. Cause yeah, the pictures and the little things that we do have up there are from when we very first opened.
Yeah. And some of them are probably like stocky photos, because you could probably do a decent photo shoot with the people who are in your space. And I love the, I mean, you know, you definitely get a feeling of some of the photos of the, like the grounds, like how special this space is. But then, yeah, show us what it's like inside of your space and who the people are. I talk about this on my, well, you probably write in this mindset, Garrett Tishy from Huga in, did you listen to that episode?
I believe so, yeah.
I tell everybody, we started doing this. He does member profiles for his blog, and that's all, you know, the focus for his blog. But it gives such a sense of like who's in the space, and it really tells such a nice story, and it's such easy content. I think that's a great thing to rip off. But so this will take you some time to kind of, you know, get these to-dos done. But I would try to give, I think that, you know, for your offices, because they may be slightly less concerned about sort of the community piece. Although I always like to say like office people care too. You know, they're not going to go shut their door and never come out. They for sure care.
Right.
But I think focus on pricing, size, you know, more kind of availability, what comes with the office, specific pictures of the office, like just do a little landing page, which shouldn't be, you know, a huge to do. And then work on your website in terms of kind of, yeah, giving a little bit more of a feel for the space in term, you know, even, yeah, a couple of member profiles or some more member photos that are current. I think that could help a lot. And then I would call the brokers and yeah, just kind of get updated with them, check in and see like, what can I do? Is it a demand thing? Is it, you know, are people looking, and that will help with your expansion decisions too. Like, look, if no one in Detroit wants an 8-person office, then don't make any more, you know? Because right. The instance and the preferred could give you a sense of like, look, this is like what they're seeing demand for, and their demand's going to be more corporate. You know, not necessarily Fortune 500, but the Fortune 2000s or whatever. So you're going to see more of the startup-y demand. They're going to see more of the sort of corporate, in quotes, demand. But it would give you a sense of what's happening in the marketplace and decide for your next space. I mean, I usually am a huge advocate of offices because typically when you sell them, people stay for a long time, you know, and you're just selling more revenue more quickly. So generally offices are good, but yeah, you're having sort of the opposite problem, but I think it's totally fixable. I think it's partly just a conversion piece on your website and then making sure you're clear on like, is there demand for those sizes of spaces in your specific market?
Right. Yeah. This is some great advice because I've been racking my brain trying to figure it out. And I think the size is another thing actually I need to look at is, are there really that many teams that aren't already placed? Because you hit the nail on the head. Normally,
I mean, in some markets there are like a WeWork will often, sell 20 people to a space, right? Like that's kind of their play is they can fit anybody of any size. But for others, like maybe those teams are all going to the WeWork and you're just not going to get them. So sort of figuring out where they play, because you could put up some walls and make them smaller or, you know, so it'll take a little bit of work to figure out the size piece. Like, is it the web conversion? Is it the awareness? Or is it, you know, the size piece, which you may not know until you actually start to tour people. You know what you might want to do on your landing page? Say that you have 2-person offices and see if you get the calls.
Yeah.
Don't know. I'm just thinking like, how do you test that demand before you do your new space? You could say you have them, that they're coming, you know, also.
Well, I also wanted to run an idea past you.
Yeah.
Hopefully Gary doesn't chop my head off for this. It's his idea. And I don't know if maybe he'd got it from an episode of yours already or something, but something that he's brought up is doing on partial weeks. Where we have an office, right? Yeah. And maybe at the price point it's at, you don't need it full time. Maybe an attorney that only needs it 3 days out of the week.
Like Airbnb-ing the office.
Exactly. Yeah. What's your opinion on that?
So certainly the executive suites do that and do it really well. I mean, really good executive suites operators will be able to tell you like this space is a better use for an office, a day office, or a meeting room. They'll know, you know, how much revenue they can drive from that space. So that's the other thing you could do is put it up. Are you on like Liquid Space or DaVinci or any of the kind of like more meeting room platforms? I'm guessing not, because you or though you're nodding your head?
Oh, well, we were.
Okay.
Those are all, I mean, I have a list of pretty much every directory you can possibly be on who you've been on.
That's right. You're the digital guy.
We just need to go back and update everything.
But that would also, so update, and also that would just be one way to kind of test demand for like the partial. You certainly could market it that way. You would just have to manage, you'd have to let people book their time, you know, through your Cobot system, your calendaring system. So that would just be a logistical challenge. But in terms of testing the demand for it, A, you could open it up to your members, see if anybody books it for a day, start marketing it as available, but also like a Liquid Space, DaVinci Virtual Office, and Cloud VO all let you market offices. Like Liquid Space does by the hour. The other ones for sure, they probably do by the hour and by the day as well. So you could test that sort of shorter term demand.
Did you say Cloud VO?
Yep.
Okay. That's a new one.
I have not heard that one. So they share a lot of data. They were actually the ones I was thinking about in terms of like the, you know, the office versus the meeting room versus the day office, because they have a lot of data on their platform and they'll do webinars and things like that occasionally. One thing to think about for your new space, one piece of data that they shared that I was like, oh, right, is if you're trying to get external meeting room revenue, it's better to have multiple meeting room sizes. Like you have one. And it sounds like you're probably not going outside because you're letting your members use it. But in the new space, as you expand, if you're thinking about, I mean, other people in the building, you could be overflow. It sounds like you have some sort of relationship with the landlord.
Yep.
So you could be marketing through him to get meeting room revenue, other people in the building who need overflow space, but having different sizes. Like not everybody needs a 30-person, you know, meeting room for their meeting. Like you could have a 4-person meeting room and a 6-person meeting room and variety. But their data shows that people will repeatedly go back to a space that has multiple meeting room sizes versus just one, because they kind of want to know they have a place where whatever their meeting needs are, you know, they can do it there. I thought that was useful thinking, but not what we're talking about today. So it sounds like, you know, you were just kind of walking through some of your next steps, which I think makes sense. So I think, you know, website, talk to the brokers, test the size, even if that's saying, you know, sort of offering the 2-person and seeing, you know, what people ask for, because you could always build that in your next space or throw up some walls, you know, in the bigger spaces that you have now. I would also confirm when you talk to the brokers, when you say, hey, you know, I've got these spaces and I'm not getting a lot of leads, you know, help me out, because I, you know, it's good for both of us to do business. Ask them about the pricing, and you may have this data point from when you'd gotten leads from them before, but what are they seeing as, you know, kind of that median price point, like per person in the market, so that you are more confident about that? Because if you have some data on pricing, I think that'll help you stick to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I got quite a bit of takeaways here. Jamie, listen, I really appreciate all the help from you today. I say we do a follow-up in a few months and see.
Ooh, we should. I love it. Yeah.
My improvement, because I'm going to, you know, I'm not just nodding my head over here. I'm going to put some of these things into play. I'm going to do some redesign on the site and some reevaluation of our space and put it all into play and see how it turns out.
Okay. Maybe I'll poke you in a couple of weeks and make sure you're moving on this stuff so we can do our follow-up episode.
That would be cool. I think it'd be perfect. Cool to see the before and after.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, thank you for sharing your story. And I think there are probably a lot of people who like I said, none of the things you're dealing with are atypical. It's just like this business can be hard and there's a lot of moving parts. And so it's good to talk through things. And I would guess other people got some help out of this as well. So thank you for sharing and taking the time to do it.
Excellent. Thanks, Jamie. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.